Also, for those who don't like to listen on the radio dial, like to do it on their computers, on moneymattersboston.com. And in our studio today is our international business reporter, Greg Stoller from Boston College. Hi, Greg.
Good evening, Jeffrey. How are you?
Good. I'm trying to be good, at least.
You're incorrigible.
I try to be. Thank you.
I just wanted to make a quick point, by the way. I don't know if you noticed a few days ago, there was an article in the New York Times about the decline of AM radio.
Right.
And I'm just so proud that we are here and we're doing well and we're in drive time. And I just think it's a wonderful reminder to our listeners that AM is alive and well and we are not going anywhere. We're here to stay.
Well, it's always nice to know that I'm a trendsetter and I'm working the decline. Right. No, there's still, it might be on the decline, which, you know, newspapers are too.
Right.
But there's still hundreds of millions of people every day in the United States
of millions of people
listen to radio.
Who, and the article made a very good point, which is if you have a power outage or the internet goes down, is that 99% of all people have a transistor radio and usually tune to AM, and that's where they get their news and information.
Right. So. Well, yeah, I like radio, and I listen to radio every day, but I'm in my car a lot.
I feel the same way. I mean, I've written case studies about this, as you know, and obviously FM radio is what has made these music stars famous,
right.
Whether it be crossover artists, etc. And I still, you've described radio as being theater of the mind, and I think that's just a terrific phrase, because as I'm in my car and you're listening to something on one of the news stations, a report on something, or they're describing an interview with somebody, you can envision in your mind what it sounds like. So,
well, you know, it's amazing. Radio is deceptive. People don't really know. Like, people would never know that you were a Jamaican bobsledder.
And people would never know that you have a great face for radio.
Exactly. So aside from the silly talk, I know there's something going on in business today that you want to talk
yes,
to us about.
Yes, we are officially off and running in terms of the BC Business Planning and Entrepreneurship course. As you know, thank you for inviting me regularly onto our show. I've been planning this since February, and yesterday was our official debut. Just to get our listeners up to speed, a week ago, the course officially kicked off in terms of logistical overviews, administrative overviews, etc. But more importantly, yesterday was presentation day number one of two. Is we had 16 entrepreneurs come on campus to Boston College. They presented on their business concepts for 5 minutes, followed by 5 minutes of Q&A. I had the first of four judging panels all set up. The second slate of judges and the second day of presentations is on Friday. We will have 16 more entrepreneurs come in and present under the same format. So we will give our 100-odd MBA students a universe of 32 companies from which to select. They will put in bids for four projects they want to work on and then allocate 100 points across their selections. Based on those 400 bids, 100 students, Jeffrey, times four bids is 400. I will then assemble somewhere between 17 to 22 teams, depending on whether you have four, five, or six students per team. And then each of those teams will write an individual business plan for one of those, in theory, 20 entrepreneurs.
You know, I'm going to take you a little astray because I do a lot of corporate strategic meetings and offsites. You could take that model and scale it down and use it as a strategic planning model for corporations that want to be more entrepreneurial, couldn't you?
Oh, well, it's funny you say that. I have been thinking along similar lines. Not only that, I think it would be fascinating, especially in the day job that you have at Mage,
right,
to actually follow one or two of these teams. And I don't necessarily mean our student teams. I mean the entire process. Is that you have, if you think you've got 20 entrepreneurs and you either randomly or intentionally select two or three of them and then chart their progress not only during the academic course but also in the formation of their companies, I think there could be a lot that could be gleaned in terms of strategic planning, organizational planning, investment, etc.
Well, again, I'm gonna take this afield and I'm gonna make this a live case between the two of us having a discussion. So I have a client, let's say it's about $400 million a year, and they have a concern with the lack of entrepreneurial behavior of some of their employees.
I love live cases. This is great.
Right.
What industry are they in?
I don't want to say right now.
Okay, but I'm just saying
only because everybody might know.
Right, manufacturing services, products.
Distribution, we'll call it.
Perfect, okay.
And they're looking to develop, you know, it's not been the history of the country, a company, but they want to develop a more entrepreneurial culture. Why couldn't we look at some volunteer teams and design a model like this where we develop something like this within the company?
I think it's a great idea. You know, we've spoken about on this broadcast before the concept of the need for a written business plan versus a well-conceived PowerPoint presentation. I think that part of the allure of writing a full-length plan, and I think that this is somewhat fungible, that it can be used for entrepreneurship as well as entrepreneurship, is that it forces people to bring assumptions out to two or three decimal places. And I mean that more figuratively than I do literally, that I think that bringing executives of this company through a live case study and forcing them to draw up a strategic plan, even if it's measured in pages, i.e. two or three pages, as opposed to a full-length business plan, might be the level of detail and the level of discipline that your client is going to require.
Interesting. I want to remind everybody that this is Radio Entrepreneurs, and we're heard daily on our three affiliate stations, WBNW 1120, WPLM 1390, and WESO 970. And again, I'll repeat, we're also streaming live on MoneyMattersBoston.com. And the best news of all, if you do miss Greg Stoller, he will be on our website for the next 30 days at RadioEntrepreneurs.com, and you can download that and watch his beautiful face as well. Greg,
flattery will get you everywhere.
You know, Greg, again, I think, you know, this class is a great class, and I know this is, you know, this is your day job, but you really have a model for developing entrepreneurship, and that's really the more important thing for me. And I think it's the more important thing for our listeners, too, to really understand that.
So I think the secret sauce, and frankly, it's not so secret, is taking a team approach to this entire process in the sense that if you think about how the model works, you have an entrepreneur who has a business idea, but might be an engineer, might be a designer, might be functionally the heart and soul of their operation, but they're not necessarily a business person. Then what we are trying to do is surround them with a team and a cross-functional team of not only young MBA students who have fresh ideas, but also an industry mentor who collectively, my mentors have raised about $1 billion in equity financing, and a student from BC Law School who goes through a parallel course with this. The idea being, and this isn't why the sauce is so secret, is that you're now taking a business problem, and as opposed to having like-minded people who could be suffering from groupthink, parsing through all of the permutations of should we not we be doing something, now you have a independent group looking at the same issues.
Interesting. And so how many students have actually started businesses that have stayed and are still viable options today?
Well, we've had a very, very good run in particular in the last two or three months. We had a idea go live called Dimensions Biosciences that was written about in this course recently. Boston's first ice bar frost, of which Cindy Brown has been on this broadcast several times, that opened last month. They've been successful. There was an article in the Boston Globe three days ago about a new energy startup that was the winner of my business plan competition at Boston College last year. We have a nightclub that has expanded to Tapas downtown called Mojitos. That was written about in the course last year. So very quietly, we are very aggressively not only creating new companies, but also allowing our students to participate in the process. It's fun to see.
You know, it's funny. Boston really is an incubator for entrepreneurship in many ways. You talk, BC does it, Northeastern does it, you know, Mass Challenge, which is not a university, does it. You have Babson, Bentley. Do you think that there's something in the water or something in our culture that really makes it that way in Boston?
I definitely think it's dirty water. all joking aside, I think that the nice part about having 100 or more universities in the state or in the region, I think, allows people to really share ideas in a more natural way than if you put people into a think tank and say, you've got to go to this area once a week and think, because that's not necessarily how the process works. Is if you think about what Boston is known for, you've got the 128 belt, which is high tech, which is very competitive to Silicon Valley. You've got so many hospitals and medical facilities in and around the Bay State.
A lot of healthcare research.
And you have universities. And I think that is, but you also have a lot of smart people in the Northeast, and in particular in Boston. I think when you put those three or four pieces together, that what you get is a nice opportunity for information sharing.
But there are other cities that have that are large university populations and professional populations, and it doesn't have the same effect. There's something in the chemistry of what's going on here.
I think there is, but I would challenge you, and I realize I'm putting you on the spot even though you're interviewing
me.
Right? What other cities outside of New York... I mean, I think of Ithaca, New York, where you have Ithaca College and Cornell, but I'm somewhat hard-pressed, maybe Pennsylvania.
I'll go back to my roots, and it's funny. It has a very parallel history. If you go to Montreal, which is not a different population if you look at the greater areas, Montreal is the second largest university town in North America. Boston's the first.
And I was going to say, I think that you'd be hard-pressed to find something in North America that is a close second, et cetera.
So Montreal has a very interesting history with Boston. Montrealers are more aware of it probably than Bostonians. But, you know, ethnically, Catholic city, it's a Catholic city. Montreal has supersized universities. It doesn't have many universities. It has supersized ones for economies of scale. But they're not geared towards, a business. They're not business the way we are.
I think that
they're built towards building executives.
Correct. I think Boston is a very unique place. It's just great. But I also think that someone like you, at the risk of sounding gratuitous, are creative. I mean, you've been on the air for how many years? Owning the show and running the show, you've been able to...
I was on the air before I had a mic. I never stopped.
Right. And you're able to, and I hesitate to use the word seamlessly, but you've been able to creatively integrate it with your day job at Mage, and I think that's what it's about. It's not very dissimilar for the opportunities that so many other people have, including myself, and I'm appreciative of it, that you can start coalescing what you do as your day job with what you do at night, and I just think it's an interesting combination.
Well, thank you. I'm glad you acknowledged that. Greg, if somebody wants to get hold of you, know more about the school, international business, incubators, accelerators, how would they contact you?
They can contact me at my BC email address, please. That's gregory.stoller.1@bc.edu, gregory.stoller.1@bc.edu.
Great, Greg. Thanks for being on the show. I look forward to having you on again and more stories.
Thank you for the opportunity as always.
Great. We're going to take a break, and this is Radio Entrepreneurs.